Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week where we are transforming shame, apathy, guilt, overwhelm, all the extra emotions, anxiety, etc., as we, or not extra emotions, but combination emotions, as we are continuing to explore the fight response. So as we work today, I'm going to suggest that we start off with just a couple minutes of movement if you haven't done this for a while. So I have a short song. What's the name of it? It's called Look at the River by Ayla Nerio, and it's from the album The Code of the Flow. I'll pop the song into the chat feature so you can have it for your enjoyment if you so desire. And we haven't done this for a while, so know that if it doesn't feel right for you to stand up, you can do it right from your chair. But I'm going to encourage you to move your body in any way that it's calling, and allowing the sound to ripple through and do what it does through you, and accepting that vibration in a way that your body and the vibration of the sound get to work together. Okay. So here we go, invitation to move and groove.
Look at the river as it winds down the rise, like a tear going down Cheekside Creek to the body of blood, salt, and golden, holding the life of our own. No, we do not look at the river as it winds down the rise, like a tear going down Cheekside Creek to the body of blood, salt, and golden, holding the life of our own. No, we do not look at the river. As it winds down the rise like a tear going down Cheekside Creek to the body of blood, salty golden, holding the life of our own. Though we do not look at the river as it winds down the rise like a tear going down Cheekside Creek to the body of blood, salty golden, holding the life of our own. Though we do not look at the river as it winds down the rise like a tear going down Cheekside Creek to the body of blood, salty golden, holding the life of our own. Though we do not look at the river as it winds down the rise like a tear going down Cheekside Creek to the body of blood, salty golden, holding the life of our own. Though we do not look at the river as it winds down rise like a tear going down Cheekside Creek to the body of blood, salty golden, holding the life of our own. Though we do not look at the river as it winds down the rise like a tear going down Cheekside Creek to the body of blood, salty golden, holding the life of our own. Though we do not look.
Thank you for the dance, y'all. So I invite you to settle on in. Getting comfy and cozy. I'm gonna do the same. As we settle in here, I'm gonna invite you to connect to that breath, which might be a bit easier to find after a little bit of movement. And as you settle into your breath, every inhale, an opportunity to receive, to drink in life. To allow inspiration to flow through. And every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space, to allow. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And And if any part of that feels pleasant and neutral, taking time to savor that, to receive that, and to be with that mindfully. And then on purpose, if your eyes are open, scanning your external environment. If your eyes are closed, then scanning your internal environment. And as you scan, looking for anything in particular that feels pleasant, easeful to be with. And whatever resource that you land on, excuse me, invitation to notice what it is you like the most about that particular resource. What is it that calls to you? Is it the color? Is it the shape? Is it the way the light and the shadow play together here? Whatever it is, it's calling your attention, so to speak, to this easeful, joyful, beautiful essence. The invitation is to continue to be with it and to breathe with it. And as you take that in, noticing what it is that happens in your body-mind as a response. And if any part of that feels pleasant, taking time to mindfully receive it as well. And as you do that, as you continue to be with that, I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for being here. And thank you for being here exactly as you are in this moment. And as I offer that, I'm going to invite you to really see what would it be like to actually be in a place where you could be okay with things as they are. What if you could just play pretend? Doesn't mean you have to like them, but what if we could just simply be present to them? And the words as I offered them earlier, be okay, was more an essence of what if we could just be with them? Just be neutral amongst everything else that's happening around us. If that seems totally inaccessible, I'm going to invite you just to play pretend with that just for a moment. I'm going to say that again. Thank you for being here just as you are. Thank you for being here as you are with everything that's happening. With all the aches, all the pains, all the challenges of life. You are welcome to be here as you are. Thank you. And thank you to all that's gone into the creation of being present to all that you're present to, your families, your ancestors, your lineage. And thank you, the deepest of thank you to those that have caretaken and stewarded these lands that have nourished us all and will continue to nourish those to come. The deepest of thank you. Thank you so much for being present inside of yourself to attend to all that you're aware of. Thank you to that awareness that lets you know, like, hey, I have this ache, I have this pain, I have this challenge. And thank you to your curiosity for wanting to explore that and to deepen into that. blessings on your journey today. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. As we start off today, I invite us to take a moment to locate your legs, locate your feet, locate that lower body, and see if we can find a way to tap into what seems to be here, whatever that seems to be present in your lower body, and connecting that to the earth herself in a way that lets you become present to the body and present to the ground beneath it. And as we get mindful about these two points, the body, the earth, the lower body and the earth, I invite those two to come into a relationship where they just notice that they're connected in a way that they may not have been present to. And when you mindfully connect the lower body to earth, noticing what happens inside of your body, inside of your mind as you settle in. And as we settle in, which doesn't mean collapsing, it's not a passive process. There's still the capacity to hold yourself while you connect to the earth. Both things get to happen. And in that same way, we're going to do the upper body to the sky above. So just as the earth below helps to ground the lower body, the sky above supports the upper body in rising and soaring. And it's said that as we root down, the more we root and ground down, the greater capacity we have to rise. So much like the phoenix, rising from the ashes, rising from the ground, rising from the earth. On the other side of anything that you've let go of, any old patterns that you've released over the coming past, I should say, previous weeks, and also supporting the body and grooving a neuronal pattern, a response to all the work that's to come, supporting the body in grounding below to release the old, and then rising above to greet what's new. As the body-mind rises in this way, off of the spine, the back body, back of heart, and back of armpits, of all places, comes as a release the pattern of wanting to teach somebody else a lesson. Meaning, let's say you work through something and you think that somebody else has that issue, or that you can see a pitfall in somebody, or you just have that tendency to want to fix or save in a particular way that makes us a little bit maybe potentially bossy or aggressive in a way that doesn't actually allow us to really come into relationship in a healthy enough way. And as we release that pattern off of the back of the heart, the armpits, the spine, around wanting to teach somebody a lesson, in a way that has just an edge of, and this is mostly subconscious, an edge of wanting to be in control or to dominate, potentially even an edge of wanting to control to the point of punishments. That's more so on the masculine half. As we work with that, running a Sidri, it's going to continue for the next 8 days, starting with C, circulation of all the healing resources. Blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, our gunk, our waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor. Endorphins and hormones, endocannabinoids that lower our inflammation, anxiety, depression, help our nervous system, our immune system alike to heal. And also working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies, I don't say this one as often, of all the meridians, all the basic 12 and all the extra ones. And then circulating through this as well, the various layers of nourishment of the yin and the protection of the yang through all of those meridians. And running hydration, helping the cells to receive water and joy and allow for flowing, a fluid response, which allows us to relax or surrender into any given thing at any given time. It provides that type of acceptance without collapsing and without it being like a passive process. Acceptance has a little bit of activity to it, but not in a way that requires any gripping or holding to it. Okay, so as we work with it, as we work with the C tree, that's the C, moving on to the D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out all the clutter that doesn't need to be here, what remains to be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all of the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there is none before. Then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness, thinking of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. And as that runs for the next 8 days, we're going to also unwind the connective tissue pattern that's being held in the portion of the bladder meridian that runs from the inner corner of the eye, bladder 1 point, which helps us to see the present moment with clarity. And then that bladder meridian goes up the head and wraps around the back of the head, and it continues to go down the back body. But we're looking at mostly the portion around the head and into the neck. For some of you, you'll notice this more on the left side. Some of you might have a bit more on the right side, and some of you might have it on both sides. Okay? The left side stuff is the management. It's the way that we try to grip, control, govern, dominate. And we're looking here at releasing the pattern of evaluating all the things that you see that are pissing you off in the world that aren't actually allowing you to see the present moment with clarity, and has a tendency to see the things around suffering, pain, hurt, challenge, and keeps us at the forefront, and in turn pushes away the elements of joy, of ease, of lightness, of connection, of compassion, of thriving. So in essence, as we move from, you've heard me potentially over the years, months, use this phrase a lot, moving from surviving to thriving. Excuse me. As we release the management pattern, I'm going to call it, around surviving, with it goes the belief system of, I can't make it any other way. I'm helpless, I'm powerless, and I don't have any other choice. So put another way, we're releasing the elements of feeling the despair of helplessness and powerlessness through this bladder meridian portion. Put even more simply, it's connected to the identity slash belief, I am stuck. I'm stuck. Excuse me. And as we work with releasing the stuckness through the bladder meridian, it helps the chi, the stagnant chi here, to also flow again and come alive within itself. Excuse me again. And as that happens, linking into 12th house, has some endings, releasing, surrendering, allowing. House of the liver, the liver meridian. And here we're releasing the belief slash identity, really, of who am I to heal? Who am I to transcend my issues? Who am I to find comfort, find soothing? At the bare bones essence of this is, who am I to heal? The playful part of my brain that's been exposed to a lot of this type of thinking wants to challenge that with a simple, who are you not to heal? But sometimes that doesn't allow for the most graceful acceptance capacity when it's met with a direct challenge like that. If that works for you, great, use it. And if it made things a little bit tighter, a little bit harder to actually move through, then know that we have more to say about this part. Yeah, so who am I to heal? We're going to run lymphatic drainage through the liver and gallbladder complex alike, but in particular all the way through that liver meridian, which runs from the inside of the big toe up to the crown of the head. Protects the genitals, protects the chest. And as we run lymphatic circulation here, releasing low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, and with it, releasing the insecurity of who would I be without analyzing all of my issues, my problems, my challenges, my hurts. I will lose myself, or I'll have the potential to lose my sense of self if I give that up. Making things like acceptance, surrender, very challenging, quite scary, to the point where the system will fight against it. Which doesn't mean that you're doing anything wrong or you're incapable of surrendering or healing. It just means there's a bit of a battle at play here within the psyche, within the system. And as we work with this, we're going to go into early childhood and times where you weren't given a choice, times where your autonomy was completely invalidated, times where you were told, you know, we're just going to wait and see how that plays out. We don't quite know yet. We don't know if we can do that yet. And always being put off. And later on in life, that might show up in the very spiritual sense of, I'm just going to see what the energy of the day is. I'm going to feel my process out from there. I don't quite know if that feels right for me. I'm going to just check and see over time, which keeps us very stuck and very stagnant. It keeps us unintentional in a way that actually makes us look glorified, spiritual, potentially. So as we look at that trap that many of us have had the experience of from early days, of early childhood, where we feel very stuck around our choices, it's like our hands are being tied behind our back and there's nothing we can do about it. And with that, it feeds the roots of powerlessness, of helplessness. As we work with this, the antidote, it's part of the homework to integrate this part of this is speaking loudly in your system and this calls to you, you're welcome to do as much or as little of this as feels right for you, is to purposely choose, to purposely be intentional. For the body talkers in the crowd, and I know I've said this word when I've taught all the courses over the years, around the breakdown of the word intentional means intention. Attention means no tension. I'm suggesting there's actually a balance point between the two that for most of us is really healthy to have. Meaning we can't have no tension in our body at all whatsoever. We would just be a complete blob. There needs to be a certain amount of tension or vagal tone, as it's referred to, meaning your vagus nerve activates a certain appropriate amount of tone. If you're completely lacking or devoid of that tone, then that might feel in the body like you're numb, you're shut down, nothing can change, you're stuck, things are frozen, and there's nowhere to go. Things feel very powerless, helpless, and can feed despair, apathy, depression heavily. If we have too much tone in our system, then we might call that hypertension. And there's lots of stress that can go with that. There's a sense that I always have to run away. I've got to be busy. I've got to make things happen. Even though I'm not very productive, I've just got to stay busy. Go, 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 go. Don't stop. Don't feel. Keep going. Keep moving. And all of those don't actually allow for the appropriate amount of tension. It's too much. So we're going to Goldilocks this. We're going to find just the right balance point of just the right amount of tension, meaning there actually needs to be a little to support your tensegrity, the alignment of your body. You can't hold yourselves up. You can't hold your body up. You can't hold your muscles, your bones up without that appropriate vagal tone, without that appropriate amount of tension. So not in a bad way, but just enough to have a sense of you, a sense of self. Not too little, not too much. So as we work with this, to support that, we're bringing in first the planetary energy of Mercury to support intellectual curiosity, meaning how curious can I be about my intentions and treating them like an experiment. I want this. But taking that pressure off the system and exploring just the impact of holding an intention and seeing what that does to the system. And as we support the body in, and the mind in intention, and trying it on as homework, the invitation is to notice what happens. And in the initial stages might actually feel quite awful because it's new and it's a pattern that you might not have done as much. However, it is the stepping stone to cultivate manifestation. And we're going to link this through to the solar plexus chakra, where we're releasing a whole lot of patterns that have said, you can't handle this, that's too much for you, I'll help you. And with that, we're releasing a whole lot of overwhelm responses through the fight response, technically. The times when you felt so overwhelmed that you felt like I should actually just stop fighting, I'll just not bother. And that sense of defeatedness, their cultivated sense of, I don't have an impact, nothing I do matters, so why bother? And with that, cultivating a whole lot of apathy. As we work with this, releasing apathy and overwhelm, interestingly enough, through all things right side of the body, masculine, so that in turn can allow for appropriate tone to release any numbness or checked outness from the right side. And as the right side can hold itself strong, or stronger than it has before, the left side, the feminine, can actually begin to relax into doing its job. It doesn't have to do both jobs of holding up the masculine as well as doing the job of the feminine, because the masculine is now holding itself up. And as the masculine holds its own self up, the feminine, the left side, can actually begin to release and unwind. And all of this creates unnecessary chaos, the old pattern. And as we step into this new pattern, we can release with it the need to have to fight so damn hard to make anything happen. With every right and left side of the part of the body doing their natural healthy role. And that also includes right and left brain, but in reverse, because right and left body flip into the right and left brain, meaning the right brain governs the left side of the body, the left brain governs the right side of the body. As that supportively allows for proper tone, so to speak, throughout the system, we're going to support that by linking masculine and feminine together. We're going to do the most powerful masculine feminine balancing there is in body talk, linking pineal masculine to pituitary feminine, alongside of linking governing vessel 14, which is at the base of the throat and the back body, or neck, I should say, in that C7 vertebrae, to conception vessel feminine 17 points that governs all things yin, and that's in the center of the sternum. We're going to connect those two. We're going to also connect right and left hip, the front of the hips, the anterior superior iliac spines, or the knobby bit of the front of your hips. And we're going to also link right and left big toes, interestingly enough, together. And with that, releasing any tendency to have like an escape hatch or a way to disassociate or not quite be as present to everything that's happening. We're going to release that through the toes. And then for all of these areas that we've worked with masculine to feminine balancing, right, left body, right, left toes, hips, etc. We're also running the permissions. And the words here are, I exist. I exist without having to fight. I don't want to prove that I exist. I exist. And I don't need to use my problems to make myself real. I exist in joy. I exist in ease. I exist in vitality. I exist in fluidity. I exist in flow. I exist. And with that, also linking left to right, front of the shoulder tips, the AC joint, acromioclavicular joints. And also going now into the rib cage, interesting. I'm releasing a fair amount of anxiety through the rib cage that was held onto to try to figure out a way to continue to prove that you're actually here and that you exist. And if you don't need to fight so darn hard to prove that, the rib cage can actually relax a little bit. It can release that anxiety and its natural protective instinct around attempts to survive. As we exist, as we welcome, celebrate, enjoy our existence, the less survival patterns need to get hung on to or clung to overall. So whatever layers are here that are ready to go within the system are being met with the essence of, what if I don't actually need to protect myself so rigorously anymore? What if I don't need to protect or manage myself so rigorously anymore? What if I didn't have to attend to every little detail in a micromanage-y type of way within my system? And it brings in the essence or the consciousness of surrender. Now, as that happens, linking to every single joint in the body around the consciousness of transition, it's safe to move forward. It's safe to move forward. And as the rib cage begins to soften in all those ways, it opens up spaciousness around the lungs and allows for the breath to flow more readily, more easily, more fluidly. And as the low back links to the upper back with a reciprocal-like connection, it allows for greater ease through the low back and opening through the upper back that also softens this ribcage-lung connection, allowing more spaciousness without the need to compress the upper lungs with the upper rib cage. There's also release of control through the jaws, through the masseter muscles, which open and close our jaw to help us to chew, as well as through the upper rib cage, upper lung region. As the system works to continuously, layer by layer, release control, know that it's also going to be an ongoing project over several weeks, likely months to come. So to whatever extent you lean into that consciously, noticing the tendency to want to control and wondering if being curious about, what if I didn't do that in this moment, what happens? without trying to predict the 72 problems that will definitely happen unless you control the situation, which is a very strong tendency for most of us to have as human beings. Noticing layer by layer, little by little, what happens in just those moments where you actually take that chance and the system is open to you releasing that layer, little layer of control, and slowly but surely building up trust over time. And that honestly can take months, years, potentially. So this isn't a one and done type of a thing. Most things aren't. And as we work with this through the upper lungs, the little bit of relief that comes with layer by layer releases layer by layer of grief around the sense of what you may have lost, around that attempt to want to control or make things happen in such a rigid way that didn't allow for a graceful flow of a balance between appropriate amounts of tension, intentionality, or appropriate vagal tone, to the balance of attention, meaning we get to completely not hold any tension there, and we get to surrender, release, let go, and the system will actually be held all on its own. And there's a dance between the two that can only be explored internally, individually. I can speak to it as much as I like, and it may not land, and sometimes it might, and wherever that happens is great from my perspective. And from your perspective, that's an opportunity to deepen into the exploration, the call to be more curious about how that's working within your own system and cultivating that, exploring that, collecting data, so to speak, from your experimentation with it, as much or as little as you might feel called to. And as the system releases that layer by layer by layer by layer, there's a lot of layers of control through most of our systems. Through, again, that upper lung, rib cage, collarbone is in here as well, the clavicles and the jaws, the masseter muscles in particular. We begin to slowly inform the ancestral realm of all the generations that have come before. That they get to release any particular layers of shame, guilt, and apathy around not having measured up. So all the ancestral energies of the times in which they tried to do something but they fell short, and they made themselves wrong for it, are getting stored here, and with it is carrying a tremendous amount of shame, guilt, and to deal with that, to not be totally tanked by that, to still be able to function in life, there's a whole lot of apathy with it. And as we support the body-mind, in releasing this, we're going back 17 generations through dad's side, 18 on mom's side. And we're offering every one of those ancestors the permission statement. It's safe to surrender and open. It's safe to surrender all that shame, guilt, apathy, and open up to new possibilities. It's safe to surrender and open. You will not die. Well, you're already dead. Yeah, most of them. Not all of them, but a lot of them. Yeah, this will not be something that creates death in a way that allows a threat of survival. But instead, it'll allow for the old patterns to die away and make room for new opportunities to thrive, to step into new possible sources of exploration, connection, understanding, awareness of thriving. What is it to come alive inside of this body-mind again? And again, and again and again and again. Simply because you get to. For the sheer joy of being alive and existing. We're tapping this part in here. Invitation to breathe, to receive. And then we're looking at the pattern of trying to figure out just that. The pattern of trying to figure out. And that could include fill in the blank to a lot of things. Trying to figure out what does that mean? Trying to figure out how's it going to happen? Trying to figure out and organize ahead of time all the 72 million ways I could potentially play out and come up with a game plan for each and every one of them. And that in turn can be useful to an extent, but for the most part, most of us end up in anxiety land when we hang out there for too long or too often and do it too much. So as we work with this, it's almost like a peremptory fight response to ensure that the path ahead will allow for us to survive. And as you look at the fight to try to get ahead, in essence, is what this is relating to. It's being stored in the crown chakra. And it's connected to literally the crown's movements through the birth canal. And literally the fight to get ahead as you were being born. For those of you born with C-section, that fight response didn't get the appropriate time to do its thing. So it got underwhelmed, meaning it went hypo or it got numbed or shut down or disconnected from. And for others of us that may have had challenging births or just times in that birth process where it just felt like it was too much to bear. It was more of a fight-flight thing that happened, meaning there was all this energy of trying to make something happen that didn't quite end up working out the way that you thought it should. Or this idea that you had to work harder than you really need to. The essence of, I have to work really hard to make things happen. Or the essence of, my effort gets me nowhere, so why bother? Can both be here. As we release the different patterns from the crown chakra, it's coming out of also the connective tissue. And this connective tissue around the crown, around the head, has a fancy name. In anatomy, they call it the gala aponeurotica. I think that's just a fun thing to say, gala aponeurotica. So as we release it from that particular layer, it's also coming out of the meninges that line the skull on the inside. And a cushion or protect the brain. It's like a shock absorber. That literally did just that. It absorbed all the shock from the birth. And then it hung on to that. And it thought it needed to continue to hang on to that in order to cushion you from your experiences in the world. However, hanging on to the shock actually diminishes the capacity to deal with the challenges of life. So it actually has the inverse or the opposite impact. And to release that tendency from the meningeal layers, we're going to run another Sidri, same steps as what I outlined previously. This one's continuing for the next 7 days until we meet again. And with it, releasing I Can Never Get Ahead, along with Undefeated, along with a tendency to make that your fault. Like, that must mean then that I did something wrong, that I'm inferior, that I can't have an impact, that I have fill in the blank of any other remaining low self-esteem pieces here. And the image that I'm seeing is, it's really strong. It's that of like a sewer rat chronically looping through different systems in the sewer and feeling like it can never make its way out, but it's just doomed to chronically crawl through the sewage. And maybe that relates as well to this idea of needing to make our problems real to prove that we exist. However, what if there is a way to do that without having to be chained to the sewer system? What if we could actually rise above that too? And now, I'm actually going to invite you, as we run lymphatic drainage all the way through the lower body and through the lower three chakras, the base, the sacral, or sexual, and the solar plexus, as well as the lower half of the heart chakra. I don't think I've ever divided it up that way before, but that's how it's showing up in this moment. As we run lymphatic drainage through all of those, recognizing and finding compassion for that human tendency to want to stay stuck in looking at all of the hurt, the pain, the challenge, the suffering, and all of the things that you condemn yourself for, all the tendency to make yourself wrong, all the low self-esteem essences. We're going to also connect the upper body with the same intent and mindfulness as we began this session with the lower body to the earth. We're going to connect the upper body again to the sky, to the heavens above, to the celestial forces, to the cosmos. And as we do that, it begins to balance out the unnecessary strife, which is usually what we mean when we say chaos. However, chaos has a bad rap. And if we look at the word itself, I forget the exact translation, but it points to the primordial, the primal, the pluripotentiality, meaning anything can be possible here. And it's interesting for human beings to relate to the word chaos from a very different set of understandings. We think that it means something bad. It's like this idea of option, choice, potentiality is somehow overwhelming, and we need to reject that in favor of managing certainty, in favor of knowing exactly what's going to happen, in favor of that will give me a sense of control. And sure, it does. It also comes with a side helping in no small shape or form of pain, of hurt, of challenge. So ironically, the desire to control that is honestly what can continue to keep it all in play or in place. That's a big pattern, which usually needs to be met with grace over also a period of weeks, months, years for most of us. Potentially decades. Yeah. So again, pointing to whatever layers are ready to release from this today in this moment, knowing that we're playing the long game, so to speak. With that, releases a whole lot of pressure off of the face. Almost like thinking that we're supposed to imagine the expectation of thinking that you can be born in an instant. And imagine putting that pressure on a little one. Like, okay, that's done. Hurry up. Get here. We're here now. And imagine instead we can actually allow for anything that wants to be birthed to happen in its own timing, to give it its own sense of organicity, its own sense of acceptance and how it wants to show up while we still wait for it and we still do the work with it. So we still go through the labor pains, so to speak, of being with all the specific challenges that might show up along the way. And we still hold space for the understanding that something is coming. Yeah. Without falling into the, oh, that's not happening, defeat, I give up, why bother? Again, it's about finding the appropriate balance or the appropriate, I keep going back to this word, like tone in the body. Without collapsing, but without being super rigid, there's a middle ground. And as we Goldilocks that, to whatever extent it's available in this moment, we're offering a permission statement. And the words are, I am here. I am here. Without having to fight for it, or prove it, or doubt it, I am here. And we're tapping it out of here. Invitation to breathe and to receive. And then running the permission statement, I can have an impact. I can have an impact. I can have an impact. And we're linking that through to the lungs and the breathing. And releasing from here. Again, a sense of hopelessness, helplessness. And that's coming off of the very first breath that you took, and the sense of lack of oxygen, deprivation, the sense of struggle, the sense of having to fight for the right to be alive, to exist, to breathe. As we release that from the very first breath, linking it through to the sixth house, house of practical action and house of discernment. So based on that, there may have been the discernment, the intellect, the awareness of I can only do so much in this world. I have to hold myself back or hold things in that I really want to offer, but I know that I can't do it effectually. So I won't. I'll just hold that in. I'll hold that back. And from that, releasing layer by layer all the pieces that are ready to go from this, and running lymphatic drainage all the way through that lung meridian that runs through the thumb, through the collarbone, up into the lungs, well, through the arm, collarbone, lungs. Okay, cool. And the planetary energy, or pardon me, the astrological sign that's connected with that of the lungs is Aries. The planetary sign, the planetary connection is that of Mars, which is very much interested in actually fighting. And not, of course, necessarily in a bad way, but using healthy fight energy to bring energy to make things happen, to move forward, to, like in an animalistic kind of instinctual nature way, drive forward. So it creates a sense of, I can drive, I can compete, I can make this happen, I can do something here. I've got a shot amongst everything else that's happening. And Aries nature is very much about circulating energy to be able to respond to whatever is happening in this moment. and it loves the challenge. It actually really deeply loves the challenge. As we support the Aries nature with Mars entering into the lungs, I hear the words like the lungs are like, oh wow, this is new. I can make anything happen with that. I'm working with that essence of I can make anything happen. And we're linking that into, this is really neat, into the neck musculature that often holds, as I mentioned over the weeks, the months, around, it holds a tendency to orient or be disorientated, not knowing precisely where you are, which doesn't allow us to be very grounded or to figure out what we need to do in a way that's actually healthily held. And it keeps us spinning and overworking and fighting against ourselves. And from the back of the neck, we're releasing the tendency to disagree on first principle or to be defiant, to oppose just because you can. And in favor, releasing that unnecessary fighting against, the struggle against, in favor of, I actually can do this. This is possible. And I don't need to fight 25 ways of Sunday to prove that to myself. As you release that through the lungs, through the lung meridian, offering the essence of safety, of nourishment, of protection, and linking that through to the part of the limbic, the emotional brain, that also has a tendency to disagree on first principle. It's in the thalamus, which is much like the sun of the solar system of our brain. And we're linking it up to the corpus callosum, which connects the two sides of the brain, optimizing the communication with the essence of possible impact. I can make that happen. And if it was up to Aries, Aries would say, I can do anything. Yeah, and allowing for that essence to be in the mix. Yeah, it's safe to open up to that again and again and again. As we do that, releasing what looks like a freeze response and a fight response together, meaning it's creating sort of like a push-pull situation around, can I do something? I don't think I can. I probably shouldn't. I can do anything. No, you can't. You're making it hurt. You should stop doing that. And all the back and forth unnecessary energy that's been creating agitation without necessarily energetic alignment to be able to move forward from. Releasing that through the corpus callosum, and allowing for easeful connection between the two halves of the brain, bringing in cortices to support that for the head brain, the gut brain, the heart brain, then running switching, which helps the cobra deal with stress for all three as well. Linking that all the way down to the base chakra and all the way through and up to the crown chakra, which in turn allows for the heart chakra to open up and to hold its own, to hold the appropriate tone, not too much, not too little. And then breathing this in, tapping this in through with a permission statement. I stand with strength and fluidity. I stand strong in my fluidity. I stand strong in my flexible responsivity or my fluidity. Breathing, receiving. And I invite you to touch in on that resource if it feels right to you that you found at the beginning, knowing that you can always bring that in at any time during the session. In essence, almost like a little snack to give fuel to the system to do whatever it needs to do. I'm going to suggest that we do that really mindfully here at this juncture to support the system in integrating all that's shown up. And knowing that you can take that forward as much in the coming day, days ahead. And I've got a song. It's just shy of 2 minutes. Om Namah Shivaya by Christian Bullman. Blessings from India is the album. I invite you to breathe, potentially even connecting to that conscious, connected breath just for 2 minutes. Meaning we take out the pauses at the top and the bottom of the breath, breathing through the open mouth, and allowing the system to really receive that energy deeply. Breathing here in any way that feels right for you in this moment. Thank you for being here, and thank you for receiving this medicine as it is, as it was, and as it will be in the coming days, weeks, months, years, decades ahead. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here together in this way. Blessings on your day and your week ahead. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. Mwah. Have yourselves a beautiful rest of your day, week ahead. I look forward to hearing how everyone gets on with all the work, so feel free to share at any juncture. Always welcome. Okay. Bye for now, y'all. And yeah, you're most welcome. Om right back to you. Thank you for the blessings. Yay for that divine timing and grace. You're so very welcome, y'all. Okay. Bye for now.